Appreciate the prayer. As always, we ask a continued interest in your prayers, not only for myself, but all of us together. If the Lord would bless us for a little while this morning, I want to talk about being a disciple of Jesus. Now, how would you rate yourself as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? If we had a big board up here and we could list all the names and put our ranking from 1 to 10 maybe, where would you place yourself? Would you like to be on that board? Would you like for everybody to see where? Now, we might place ourselves one place, and the Lord might put us another. A disciple of Jesus Christ. You know, religion can be most anything, can it? Anything that you practice on a regular basis can be religion. You can be religious about most anything. But if we're truly going to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we have to be interested in becoming more like Him, don't we? After all, Jesus said in Matthew 10, it's enough that the disciple be as his master. And Jesus said, if any man will come after me, in other words, if any man will be like me, and He told us what we should do. And you're familiar with that passage, deny yourself, take up your cross, and Luke said daily, and follow me. Well, that's easy enough to do, isn't it? At least it's easy enough to say. All right? In reading the gospel according to John this week, I noticed there were three passages where Jesus said something about being his disciple that I want to focus on this morning. We've probably preached this subject a number of times in various ways, but I've never really taken these three passages together, noticing how that Jesus said, if we do this, we'll be his disciple. Now, I know that there's the negative side of this. In Luke 14, there's some things that Jesus said, and I just want to kind of set the stage with that and get that negative out of the way so that we can concentrate on the positive. In Luke 14, and you have to read this with some understanding now, because if you're not careful, you might just brush this off and go on to something else. But in introducing this subject about what Jesus says himself about how we would be his disciple, let's notice some things that he says would keep us from it. In Luke 14, beginning in verse 25, and there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them. Now, get the picture here. You know, Philippians chapter 2 tells us that Jesus made himself of no reputation. In other words, he wasn't interested in just creating a following for himself. And there were times that he said things that caused people to turn and walk no more with him. All right? But just think about someone who would turn away from Jesus and walk no more with him. I mean, who else, to whom shall we go? Peter would say later, when the Lord saw that there were some that turned and walked no more with him, and Peter and Jesus said, will you also go away? And Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? But thou hast the words of eternal life. All right? So when we think about the way Jesus went about his ministry, he always spoke pure words of truth, didn't he? And sometimes the truth was received, and sometimes the truth was rejected. Sometimes he was criticized. Oftentimes he was criticized. But if we want to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to be aware of that not everybody is going to be as enthused about it as we are. And who do we want to please? Do we want to please the crowd? Do we want to please the people around us? Or do we want to please the Lord? I hope that we want to please the Lord, and I hope that we're choosing the folks that we choose to be around in a way that would be, they would also be pleasing to the Lord. Okay? So when he says, he turned and said unto them, verse 26, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Boy, I just imagine there's some that turned and walked no more with him after that, do you think? And then he goes on to say, verse 27, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Lord, what are you saying? What is it going to take for us to be your disciple? There is nothing better than to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this sounds like a tall order, doesn't it? This sounds like it's going to require some commitment. Now, we know that it pleases the Lord for us to love our father and our mother and our brother and our sister and our children. So you can't take that as just on face value. We have to understand what he's saying. And what he's saying is, what's under consideration is discipleship. So who's going to get first priority if indeed we're going to be a disciple of Jesus? Jesus has to get first priority, doesn't he? First priority. Not only, just like when Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It's not ungodly to seek for good housing. It's not ungodly to seek for a good job. It's not ungodly to seek for a lot of things. But if it comes between us and serving the Lord, it becomes ungodly. So it's a matter of priority. It's a matter of discipleship. It's a matter of who is first. And if we put the Lord first, we'll end up loving our mother and our father and our brother and our sister and our children even better. So it's a matter of disciple or priority, isn't it? The subject is discipleship. If we're going to be a disciple of Jesus, those other things have to be considered secondary to serving the Lord. And you'll find the closer we walk to the Lord, the better we can love others. And so, let me set that stage with the negative there. And I want to notice those three passages that Jesus gives us as recorded according to the Gospel of John, where Jesus talks about being his disciple in very specific terms. In John chapter 8, John 8 verse 31. Get back to verse 30 in John chapter 8, verse 30. As he spake these words, many believed on him. That wasn't always the case, was it? It wasn't always the case that those who Jesus spoke to believed on him. But here we find there were some who did. How wonderful. What a blessing. There's evidence of grace there, isn't it? Because that's the way any of us believe. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Could it be any plainer? If you continue in my word, then, he says, are you my disciples indeed. All right, so then the requirement is for us to understand what he means by continuing in his word. continuing. We want to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't we? We want to have our priorities right. We want to be seeking Him first. We want to be honoring Him first. We want to be in that way that we can walk in the closest fellowship with the Lord so that we can fellowship God's people and take care of our families in the best way that we can. So when He says, if you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed. And He says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I want to notice some other passages that support what Jesus is saying there. If you continue in My word, then shall you be My disciple indeed. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul writing to Timothy, instructing him. Listen to what Paul says to Timothy with regard to continuing in the Word. All right? 2 Timothy chapter 3, let's begin in verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. A lot of that has to do with understanding that that person that is the teacher is one that is indeed following the Lord, one that is seeking to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we're hearing these things and we understand that they are the truth according to God's word and we follow those things, he says, continue in them. All right? Verse 15, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. He says, from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. And then he tells us of the blessing of knowing that. Now, so what we find, first of all, in comparing this passage, is that if we're going to continue in His words, first of all, we need to know what it is, don't we? I mean, how can you continue in something that you don't know? All right, so we need to be learning. But that verse also tells us it's through faith in Christ Jesus. God giving us His Spirit, God working in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure, us following the leadership of that Spirit, us reading the Word, asking God for understanding, and He opens our mind and our heart to the things of God and blesses us to be strengthened to know the meaning of His Word. That's what it's all about in continuing in His Word. First of all, we need to know what it is. And we need to pray to God for understanding of what it means. Because the point is to take that word, treasure it up in our heart, remember it, and put it into practice. That's when it's going to bring glory to God, isn't it? When it comes out in our practice, when it's reflected in our daily lives. That's the goal of a disciple, isn't it? To be like his master. And so as we face the difficulties of life, we need to face them like Jesus would. You know, I like that expression, what would Jesus do? That's good to remember, isn't it? What would Jesus do? Well, we need to read His Word and know what it says that He did when He faced those that were trying to trip Him up in His words, or those that were trying to deceive Him, or those that were trying to catch Him in His words, and that ask other questions, and as Jesus responded to them. Because we want to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to be like Him. And bless your hearts, He's the Word of God that was made flesh and dwelt among us. And so the life that He lived before us while He was here in His earthly ministry was a manifestation of the absolute truth of God's Word. How we should live our lives. Peter said, He leaving us an example that we should follow His steps. So we need to know what the steps of Jesus were like. We need to know what His Word says. We need to know how we can apply it to our lives so that as we respond to life, we can manifest the fact that we're a disciple of Jesus Christ. If you continue in My Word, then are you my disciple indeed? So when I asked the question earlier, how would we rate ourselves as a disciple of Jesus? What you can do for your own exercise is to think back over this past week. Think back over some of the experiences you've been through. Did you respond like Jesus would have responded? Did you respond in a way that showed forth that you are under the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ and that your response was the way that it would have been that which would please Him? That's what it means to be a disciple, isn't it? If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Psalm 119, verse 11. Remember that verse? It's on our bulletin every month. We ought to have it memorized by now, shouldn't we? Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. The literal definition of sin is to miss the mark. If we're pressing toward the mark and we miss it, that's sin, isn't it? Now, I understand we all come short. But that's part of why it says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. All right? So as we think about being a disciple, as we think about pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus, if we think about doing everything we do to the pleasure of the Lord, if we're going about it with His glory in mind, it will help us in whatever we are doing. Because we're to do these things as unto the Lord and not unto men. All right? So first of all, he says, continue in my word. We need to know it. We need to have some understanding of what it means, what it's teaching. We need to remember it, don't we? If we're going to continue in the word, we need to remember it. That's why Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, that great resurrection chapter, he begins by saying, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you've received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you. It needs to be heard. It needs to be received. You know, not everybody receives the Word of God. Now, I would hope everybody in this building receives the Word of God. But, you know, Jesus was talking to some people and on some Jews on one occasion in John chapter 8, and he was talking about how is it that you cannot hear my word, even because you have my word hath no place in you. My word, there were those that didn't receive it because his word didn't have a place in them. What is that place? Well, it's the Spirit of God dwelling within us, working in our heart, enabling us to hear and understand. Now, we need to take that and exercise ourselves in it so that there's fertile soil to receive that word. But it starts by having the Spirit of God within us. All right, so when Paul said, I declare to you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which you received, wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. Well, we understand what he means by being saved there, don't we? You know, a lot of our friends in the Christian world will take that and try to apply that to being saved eternally. No, what he's talking about there is a deliverance that we receive when we hear the word, receive the word, stand upon the word, trust the word, believe the word, and practice the word. It'll save us. Because when it comes forth in our practice, when we're walking like a disciple should be walking, we won't be taking part in a lot of these other things in the world that would cause heartache and grief. It saves us from those things. How we need to continue in the Word. James. Well, we could spend all day in James. The times are running together here, but recently I know, and maybe it was last Sunday, we were talking a little bit from James. When he's talking about be ye doers of the word, James chapter 1. Well, let's go back a little bit. Since we're talking about continuing in the word, let's go back a verse. Verse 22, we talked about last week. Verse 21. James is a very practical book. James was one of the earliest of the writings of the New Testament. The New Testament church, the church at Jerusalem, had grown so quickly. I mean, when you start adding 5,000 people in one day, my goodness. And they weren't dyed-the-wool Jews, were they? You know, I mean, they were Jews, but what I'm saying is, evidently, they were not well equipped as far as understanding the gospel and the teachings of the New Testament. And so there was a great need for the practical lessons that the book of James gives us. And it's amazing to me that one of the main things that James hammers on, I'll use that expression at least, because it really is emphasized in the book of James, one of the things he talks so much about is the tongue. That's a good place to start, isn't it? If we want to control our behavior. All right? All right, so he says, now again, we're still talking about continuing in the word so that we can be his disciple indeed. And James chapter 1, verse 21, he says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Well, that's something I want to know about, isn't it for you? If it's able to save my soul, I want to know what that is. Receive with meekness the engrafted word. I'm amazed that some people can take a plant and graft a different type of plant in there and wrap it up and come out with a different kind of fruit from what that stalk or that stock produced before. Isn't that amazing? I'm just amazed that people can do that. I'm amazed that people even figured out that you could do that. All right? But you know, that's the way it is with the engrafted word. That man by nature does not have any interest in the things of God. Man by nature is not seeking after God. If anything, man by nature is turned against God and away from God. But when we're born of the Spirit, when that word comes in and finds that lodging place in our hearts, when we're made a new creature in Christ and born of that living word, and we receive his word as it's preached to us or as we read it, that word begins to bear fruit in our life that's not of us. It's of a different seed, isn't it? We want to be bearing fruit that's going to bring glory to God, that's godly fruit, that's spiritual fruit, that's produced from something that God has put within us. It's not of us. It's by his grace been given to us. And we want to bear that kind of fruit now. We don't want to be like what we bore before we were born of the Spirit, do we? We want to continue in his word. We want that word to shape us and mold us. We want that word to control our behavior. We want that word to bring honor and glory to Jesus while we're walking here in this life. So if you continue in my word, you shall be my disciple indeed. Let's go over a little bit in John's writings to John chapter 13. Great part of that John chapter 13 deals with the washing of feet. Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And a great part of that chapter deals with the subject of love. All right? John chapter 13... Verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. That's good, isn't it? That we love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Well, here again, that's a tall order to fill, isn't it? The way Jesus loved us, well, that's the mark, okay? That's how we should go about it. And so we would do well to study the love of Jesus. How he loved us, how much he loved us, how he went about showing his love for us. You know, it's a whole lot better to show our love than it is to just speak of it, isn't it? You know, the actions need to be consistent with the words for the words to have any meaning. Okay? So when he says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Verse 35, by this, plain enough, shall all men know that ye are my disciples. That's what we want to know, isn't it? That's what we want to be, a disciple of Jesus. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if ye have love one to another. Love one to another. God reached down to where we were when we were unlovable, gave us his Spirit, planted his love within us, and that love is an unconditional love. Aren't you glad he didn't wait for us to get our act together and become loving toward him? See, we understand from the teaching of Scripture that would never happen on our own. Without that engrafted word, without that Spirit of God coming to us, without us being born of the Spirit, without him shedding his love abroad in our hearts, we would not have a love for him, would we? All right, that's why 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. And we can rejoice in that, can't we? We rejoice that Jesus loved us, that God loved us. And when we think about the love of God, and we think about how much mercy, how much compassion, how much forgiveness, how much all that it took in his grace in giving us his love, I tell you, that's a lot of love, isn't it? That God has manifested to us. And the greatest aspect of it is that he gave us his Son. He gave us the very best that he had. He gave us one that was perfect, who loved us perfectly, who perfectly pleased the Father. He is the one that suffered and died to redeem us from our sins. I'll tell you, we need to exercise our minds on a regular basis of just how much and just what kind of love that is that God has for us. Because that he's telling us, as I have loved you, or he says, yeah, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Do we love one another that way? Are we trying to love one another that way? You know, when we think about what God overlooked in us. Now, he didn't have to just brush it aside. He didn't brush it aside, did he? He made provision for the payment of every stinking sin we ever have and ever will commit. He made provision. Like Elder Charles Sandage from Arkansas. He's famous for saying that there's not going to be a bunch of pardoned sinners in heaven. Now, we use that term kind of loosely, and we think of it in those terms, but the illustration he likes to use is when President Nixon was pardoned. And I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to say whether he was guilty or not. I'm saying he was charged, okay? But he was pardoned. Well, if he was guilty, he's still guilty. Because the penalty wasn't paid. If he was guilty, he's still guilty. Because that charge was just brushed aside. And what Elder Sandage is famous for saying is that we're not going to be a bunch of pardoned sinners in heaven. I know in some of the songs that we sing, and for poetry's sake, you know, that word may be used sometimes, but be careful what you think about that. We're not just pardoned from our sins. Our sins were paid in full. Remember what Brother Ricky said about paid in full? All right? Well, those sins are paid in full. And so he loves us. Because the blood of Jesus has reconciled us. The blood of Jesus has provided for forgiveness of our sins. They were paid for in full. They're satisfied. God's wrath upon us as far as the penalty of our sins. All of that is satisfied. Isaiah in prophecy said, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. God is satisfied with that debt. Because it's paid in full. And so he looks upon us through the blood of Jesus. And he loves us so much. And he provides so much for us. And he does so much for us every day. And he tells us to love one another like he loves us. We can't pay for anybody's sin. We couldn't even pay for our own sins. But our sins have been paid for. And if we have that assurance in our heart that he has paid for our sins, bless your hearts, we need to love one another. He says, a new commandment I give unto you. All right? And he said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Not just for another, is it? You know, it could be a sad thing, but you could have a love for somebody, but if you never communicated that, and if they never knew about it, it wouldn't accomplish much. And love's just not a warm, fuzzy feeling, is it? You know, when we're growing up and we start having those passions for things and we don't really properly distinguish those passions of the heart and understand that when God speaks about love, he's talking about a sacrificial love. He's talking about an unconditional love. He's talking about a love that looks through circumstances that in 1 Corinthians 13, he talks about that love that doesn't keep score, so to speak. And that's the kind of love that we're to have one to another. And to have it one to another, it has to be shown. It has to be demonstrated. It has to be practiced. It has to be manifested so that it can bring glory to God. Not just harbored in our hearts. And so as we think about if we're going to be his disciple, he says, if you have love, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. If you have love one to another. So far we've talked about continuing in his love to be his disciple. I'm sorry, continuing in his word to be his disciple. And then he said, having love one to another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. I'd say those are good things to remember, wouldn't you? I mean, it's kind of easy to have a short list that you can remember that would prod you in the right direction, isn't it? I mean, this what I'm talking about today is not everything that he says about being a disciple, but if you could remember these three things that we're going to talk about, I tell you, it'll help. It'll help. To continue in his word and to have love one to another. All right? The last thing, or the last one we want to talk about, John 15, verse 8. Already, I've said this a dozen times, that in order for it to bring glory to God, it has to not only be received and remembered, but it has to be practiced, shouldn't it? If it doesn't come out in the practice, it doesn't redound to the glory of God, period. It hasn't accomplished its goal. To be a disciple, we need to be like Jesus. And the more like Jesus we can be, the better disciple we are. So, yes, it's good to know it. Yes, it's good to remember it. Yes, it's good to understand it. But until it's put into practice, we haven't accomplished the goal of a disciple. Is that plain enough? You know, I mean, it's just that finishing point that makes all the difference. Now, yes, it's important to hear it. Yes, it's important to read it. Yes, it's important to remember it. And it's definitely important to understand it. But for it to bring glory to God, it has to be put into practice. And so John 15 and 8, herein is my Father glorified. I wish I knew how many times I'd quoted that verse. Herein is my Father glorified. Isn't that our first priority as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, is to bring glory to God? After all, He's the one that loved us. He's the one that died for us. He's the one that saved us. He's the one that keeps us. He's the one that preserves us. He's the one that's going to take us home to be with Him. He's the one we're going to rejoice in all eternity. Surely, that's first on our list, to bring glory to God. Worship our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's got to be first on our list. If all these other things that we started out with, talking about those negative things, if all those other things get between us and God, or get between us and our manifesting our love for God, we're missing the mark. We're working against ourselves. We can't do that which is pleasing to Him. All right, but if we continue in His word, if we have love one to another, and He says here in chapter 15, verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Now, you're well acquainted with those verses, aren't you? But I want you to see the emphasis here. As we started out with those negative things from Luke 14, where He was told us that if these things get in the way, we cannot be His disciple. In other words, if those things are hindering us from putting into practice His teaching and following His teaching in the way that would be pleasing to Him, then it's going to hinder us from being a disciple in the first place. But if we need to continue in His word, if we're showing forth that love one to another, Then He's glorified. Because showing that love is fruit of the Spirit. So if we show a lot of that love, we're bearing much fruit, aren't we? Okay? And the few thoughts that I put together in that food for thought last week, talking about bearing fruit. You know, there's a matter of quantity. How much fruit are we bearing? There's a matter of quality. How good is that fruit? You know, it's the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man that availeth much, right? Have we had any effectual and fervent prayers this week? I'm thankful to see some nods. But it sure got quiet in here. All right. If it's effectual and fervent prayer that availeth much, what about those quick little prayers as we go about our day? Is that going to avail much? Don't stop doing that if that's all you're doing. But what I'm saying is, there needs to be more power. There needs to be more emphasis. There needs to be more fervency in our praying. Because it has an effect on the kind of power that we're experiencing in following him as a disciple. So when we think about what he says, the kind of fruit, herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. Not only how much fruit, what kind of fruit? And the kind of fruit that we bear has a lot to do with the kind of soil it's coming out of, doesn't it? Glad to see Brother Royce over there nodding about that. That's true. And Jesus gave us the Matthew 13, the parable of the sower and the seed. You remember, some seed fell by the wayside, and that's for those that just didn't understand what was being said. And some fell on stony ground. But there wasn't much earth, and so when the trials came, the heat came down, they withered away. And then some fell among thorns. Well, what's the problem there? Well, the thorns choked out the word, the seed, and so because of the thorns, it took all the nutrient away from the seed, and it didn't bring any fruit to perfection, according to Luke's account of this. But some of that seed fell in good ground. Ground that had been worked. Ground that had their thorns and the weeds pulled from it. Ground that was tended to, had gotten some attention. And that ground brought forth much fruit. And it was able to bring forth good fruit. And it brought forth glory to God. Now, that parable in Matthew 13 has as much to say, when you're talking about the sower and the seed, it has as much to say about the soil as it does about anything else. And that soil in Matthew 13, the sower and the seed parable, is referencing the heart. Have we prepared our heart to receive the word? Do we prepare our heart to understand the word? Or is there cares and things of this life that's so crowded into our heart that it chokes out the effect of the word? See, all of those principles are taught to us in Matthew 13. And so if we're going to bear fruit, if that's what brings glory to God, and if that's the first priority of a disciple, is to glorify God, then it makes sense to me that we need to make sure that we're attending to how much fruit, what kind of fruit, and what kind of a heart that we have for the Word of God to be sown into to bring forth that fruit. These things are how we live our lives. They're simple truths, but oh boy, we can spend our life trying to get it right. Every morning when you wake up, you start over again in some respects, don't you? I mean, we can build a track record of faithfulness, but you start leaving it off and you start sliding back. There is such a thing as a backslider, isn't there? Okay? So we need to keep pressing in, continually pressing in. That's why Jesus, the first thing we noticed, he said, if you continue in my word. Is that needful? Absolutely. Is it needful for us to love one another? My goodness. Somebody comes in here, hadn't never visited, and don't feel any love of God when they get here, they might as well turn around and leave. If God's here, there's going to be a feeling of love here. So it is, we're to love one another. Continue in his word, have love one to another, and bear much fruit. That's a simple list, isn't it? We ought to be able to take care of a list like that, shouldn't we? What difference will it make? It'll make all the difference in the world in your fellowship and communion, not only with God, but with his people. May God help us. to be a good disciple. May God help us to continue in His Word. May God help us to love one another. May God help us to bear much fruit to His honor and glory. It's enough for the disciple to be as his master. May God help us to do just that as best we can. May God bless you is our prayer.